The Gemara in Samach Vav Amud Beis has a series of Memros of Rava pertaining to some details of Chatzitza, Chafifa, and Tvila. One of the Memros is Amar Rava Le'olam Yilamid Adam Mesach Beiso Shetei Isha Madicha Beis Kmataha B'mayim. A person should instruct the members of his household that in advance of Tvila, a woman should rinse her kimatim. Rinse her folds. The Gemara assumes that the statement of Beis Kamataha, these are Kamatim in a Beis Astarim. So isn't the din that you don't require Bias Mayim, Beis Astarim, and the Beis HaKamatim? So what's the need for the rinsing? That's the din of Ra'i L'Bias Mayim, though we have the Beis Astar. And then the Gemara has the story, Amar Ravin Barav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Maisa B'Shevchasa Sharebi, Shetavla V'Alsa V'Nimsala Etzem Chotzeit Ben Shineha. So Shevchasa Sharebi went to the mikvah, and she found an Etzem Chotzeit Ben Shineha. She found a bone that was constituting a chitzitza between her teeth. V'tzricha Rebbe tefila acheres, and Rebbe required of her to go to the mikveh a second time because of the chitzitza that she found after the first tefila. Okay. So the Ravid in Balei Nefesh Shara Tvila Simen Beis, Shara Tvila Simen Beis, assumes, based on this Gemara, that if you read it carefully, Rava is not talking about absolute chiv that included in Chafifa, you have to wash at these areas, but it's more of an Eitz Tova. It's advisable. However, writes the Ravid, Imlo Nimsa Lehadavar Chotzeitz, it's not likuva, as opposed to chafifa or srika, which would be likuva, but simply rinsing out base kamata is not likuva. It's in the realm of advisable, but you see from two things in the Gemara that it's not likuva. Number one, the lashon of la'olam yilamid adam b'sach beisa sounds like nam ikar adin. It's a suggestion, it's not likuva. And with the ma'isa Rebbe, the shechasa sharebi, the fact that the requirement, the Rebbe only told her to go to the mikveh again because she found a davar chotzeitz, but had she not found a davar chotzeitz, even had she not cleaned out the area of Beis Astarim, there would not be a requirement for a second tefillah. So it's only because she actually found a davar chotzeitz that there's a need to do another tefillah, but had she not found a davar chotzeitz, there would not have been a need for another tefillah, since this is not a me'ikar adin chafifa. It's an Eitz Tova kind of chafifa. It's advisable because if you don't do it, then you might find a chatzitza and you'll have a problem, but it's not likuva if you did it. So says the Ravid in Shara Tvila Simen Beis. And that seems to be reflected in Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber writes in Se'if Kafhei, Imlo hidicha beis astarim beis hakmatim shala, v'nimsa behem davar chotzeitz lo asa la tefila. V'imlo nimsa la davar chotzeitz af bi shalo barka koren tefila asa la tefila. V'en adoma lebedika thaguv v'chafifa sarov. It's the Rosh. It's not like the absolute chafifa, which is likuva. This is more in the Eitz HaTova realm, as the Ravid says, and therefore, as long as you don't find the davar chotzeitz, even if you didn't rinse out the Beis Astarim areas, the Kmata areas, it's not Ma'akev, and the Tvila is still good. I saw Rabbi Karp quotes a Ra'avan. Before you say that, the Sidrei Tara makes this observation as well in Sifkat and Cafe. The Sidrei Tara, in quoting the Ravid, the Sidrei Tara makes a point more strongly that the Lashon of La'olam Yilamed is what indicates it's not Likuva. The Ravid doesn't spell that out, It kind of emerges from the Raivim, but the Siddur Torah spells it out that it's really from the term of L'olam Yilamid Adam. Rabbi Karr points out there is a Ravan, which he thinks is lahalacha in this regard, even though it doesn't seem to be reflected in the Lashon Mechaber that we just read. The Ravan in Siman Shin Kavav, the way he presents the requirements of Chafifa, he includes Chafifa's Beis Hasdarim in the same breath, in the same formulation as Chafifa's Harosh and Chafifa's Kol HaGuf, which implies that it's as Likuva as the other parts of Chafifa. And I guess he's not bothered or isn't impressed by the Lashon of L'olam Yalamid Adam as indicating less than a formal requirement. But the Pashup Shot is that it's not Likuva, and as long as you don't find the Pashup Shot, Lalacha at least, based on the Ravid, is that as long as you don't find it, Avrachotzeis, if you didn't do Chafifa in these areas of Beis Hasdarim, you didn't clean out your teeth, then it would not be ma'akev, it would not be a requirement for a second tefillah. As we had referenced earlier, the requirement of tefillah b'beis hasdarim and roi l'bias mayim is subject to machlokas rishonim. Is that a din d'oraisa? Is that a din d'rabbanan? Tosfos on kafei m'beis and kedushin, kafei mit aleph anta m'beis, diber maskel kol roi, assumes, as we noted earlier, that roi l'bias mayim is a din d'oraisa, based on the pasuk v'rachas es kol b'saro v'mayim, and the Chacham Sfar, the Ritva, the Ramban, the Rashba, assume that rachas b'saro v'mayim only includes that which is begaloi, that not that which is the base hastarim. Rabbi Morgenstern, in his analysis on page Shin Nun, when he counts up the Rishonim, thinks that Rov Rishonim, or at least Mashma, that it's a din d'oraisa, like the position of Tosfos. The Me'iri, in our sugi here on Samach Vavah Mebeis, writes as follows. The Me'iri writes, Mitoch kach ani mora uba, shebasar shebesoch hashinayim, ein derech lahakpid alav kol kach, ve'eno chotzeitz. The fact that the Maisa B'Shevchas HaShel Rebbe was only Be'etzem Ben Shineha and not Be'basar Ben Shineha, so you might have said Maisa Shahaya Kachaya and you can't be Medayik for the Maisa Shahaya, but the Me'iri assumes that it's Dafka Be'etzem Sheben Shineha that would have been a Chatzitza, but had it been Basar Sheben Shineha, that's something people are not as makbid about. If you have a little bit of food stuck between your teeth, it doesn't bother most people. And that would not, if push comes to shove, be a chatzitza. Afapi shegedolim mefarshim near and kacholkimba. Even though gedolim mefarshim, the Ravid and Bali Nefesh disagrees. The Ravid assumes that etzem and basar is all the same din. Anything that is found bein hashinayim would be a chatzitza. And the Beis Yosef quotes this from the Smag as well. Smag writes, "Im nimsa beinehen basar o peruin." That if you find meat or crumbs between the teeth, that constitutes a chatzitza. So machlokes rishoni here, the Me'iri assumes that basar does not constitute a chatzitza. The Ravid is mefurish as well as the smag that it does constitute a chatzitza. Rav Avadya in the Taras Abayis quotes Chuvas Maram that says like the Me'iri that only an etzem is a problem, not basar. Ravadia thinks that even though Mistimas Rov Harishonim, there's no evidence of a chiluk, meaning aside from the Me'iri and the Maram, none of the other Rishonim make this point. So Mistimas Lishonim, or the fact that they don't make this distinction, it sounds like most Rishonim assume that Basar Ben Hashinayim is Chotzeitz just as much as Etzem Ben Hashinayim. However, Ravadia thinks that you can at least throw in the Me'iri as a stiff lahakel in a bidyevit situation where you can throw another suffix into the mix, maybe have a case where there is a suffix, whether there is anything, bein hashinayim. Rav Avadya notes that the Marsham in Das Torah does quote the Maram lahalacha. So again, we definitely assume that is a lichachila matter, anything bein hashinayim or any a piece of meat or anything noticeable, Bein HaShinayim would be a chatzitza. But the Rav Avadya raises that in a situation where the other sfeikas are thrown to the mix, there may be grounds to be mekel. But because of this concern that anything Bein HaShinayim potentially could be a chatzitza, that's why the Mechaber writes in Se'if Kaf Dalet, Tzricha lachzot shinaha shelo yehei behem davar chotzik. You have to clean out the teeth, or the areas between the teeth, in order to ensure that there's no chatzitza. She'im tavla v'nimsa shum davar davik behem lo also la tefila. For if a woman were to go to the mikveh and find a davar chotzik between her teeth afterwards, as in the maisa b'shel chasa sharebi, that would be a problematic chatzitza. Fine. And that's why lahalacha, a woman needs to clean the area between her teeth before going to the mikvah. Whether the way to do that is with dental floss or not may depend on the person. Sometimes dental floss could tend to get stuck between the teeth, and then you've created more problems than you solved. If you have a piece of dental floss wedged or lodged between your teeth, then that's definitely a chatzitza. And that could be worse than the little bit of meat that was there before. So if you tend to have dental floss get caught, it might not be advisable to clean with dental floss. But different people have different tendencies in terms of how they use dental floss. But be it a toothpick or dental floss or some other implement, like those fancy implements that have a little piece of dental floss coming out of a plastic thing, but whatever the way of doing it is, you have to make sure that there's nothing between your teeth before going to the mikvah. Then the Mechaber quotes the following minug that appears in the Rush in the end of Hilchos Nida. The Yesh Nogos Shelo Lechol Basar Biyom Lechtan LeBeis HaTfila, not to eat meat on the day before a woman goes to the mikvah. Because meat tends to get stuck between the teeth more frequently than other food. And even though, in principle, there's nothing wrong with eating meat as long as you're going to floss your teeth or clean them out well, these women that had such a practice as recorded by the Rush were still concerned that even if they're going to floss or clean their teeth, they may not do a perfect job. And therefore, to avoid potential problems, the minhag developed not to eat any meat biyom hatfila at all. And the Rush writes that he saw this as a practice of nashim kisheras. Rabbi Morgenstern points out, page Shinnun Vav, that meat presumably is lav dafka. Any kind of food that tends to get wedged between your teeth, you should avoid eating biyom hatfila. So it's not just meat, but popcorn or corn or anything that tends to get stuck between teeth. It would be, even if it's not formally part of the minhag the way stated in the Rush, but within the spirit of the minhag, to avoid eating such foods biyom tefila. And then the Rush records a second minhag yafa, that a woman would not eat anything between rechitza and tevila, between chafifa and tevila. That after a woman made her preparations to go to the mikvah, she wouldn't eat anything, not just meat, before going to the mikvah. That's what the Rama records here. Ve'en lalechol bein rechitza litvila. Ve'en lalasa kol yom kodem tevila bebatzeik o b'nei rosh shabbos shelo yida bikba. So that's a separate meaning from the Shari Dura, not to touch things that potentially or likely to become chatzitza. So the second minhag, first minhag of the Rush, which the Mechaber records, is not to eat meat biyom hatfila, and the second minhag of the Rush that the Rama records is not to eat anything between doing the preparations and going to the mikvah. If you look at the Gon here in Sifkat and Kaf Beis, on the first minhag of lo lechol basar biyom hatfila, he's mitzayin the Gemara in Chulin daf kofei. Achol basar aser lechol gvina, and he's mitzayin the Rambam because of basar bein hashinayim. So he's mitzayin that din that you're supposed to wait between eating meat and eating cheese, which Rama understands as being a concern because of basar bein hashinayim. So that's a model for this minug of the Rush. Explains Rav Stern in the Shari Tfila Simen Lamed Aleph that the Gaon is saying that the reason for the Rambam, the concern of basar ben hashinayim, is that even if you're going to floss your teeth after eating meat, it's impossible, or it's you may not do a perfect job. You may not get everything out, and there might be some residue of the meat that still is lodged bein hashinayim, which is why there has to be a period of waiting between achilas basar and achilas glina. So Stern says that's the kavanos hagon for this minhag of the Rush. It's based on the same consideration that as far as katzitz also, even if you were to properly floss or clean your teeth, there's a possibility that it may not get everything out, and hence the minhag developed not to eat meat biyom hatfila. As far as meat, you might have argued that the only thing you can't eat is meat that tends to get lodged bein hashinayim. But if it's kind of meat that will not get lodged bein hashinayim, pulverized meat or ground meat, then that should be okay. But Rav Stern points out that the minhag is a low plug, that we don't need any meat biyom hatfila, and he quotes Rav Zalman as having said that lalacha, that the minhag is not to eat any meat, even if the particular recipe that you have is not going to get stuck bein hashinayim. Okay, the Taz writes over here in Sivkatan Kafhei, minhag yafahu, going on the first minhag of not eating basar biyom hatfila, upashut she'im lo naga kein, if you forgot, which could happen, and you ended up eating meat, that doesn't prevent you from going to the mikveh anyway. It's a minhag. So you're supposed to follow the minhag, but if you didn't do it, it's not ma'akev v'tvila. U'b'shabbos v'yantiv ha-minhag she'ochlem basar. But on Shabbos v'yantiv, if you have a motzei Shabbos tefila, so the minhag is to eat basar on Shabbos. Rak she'tizar l'nakir b'yosar achrikein, she just should be extra careful to make sure that she does a proper job flossing before going to the mikvah. Okay, so that's what the Taz writes. That seems to be universally accepted, that even though in general we have this minhag not to eat basar biyom tefila, if it's a motzei Shabbos tefila, and the norm is to eat meat on Shabbos, there's no restriction on eating meat on Shabbos. You just have to be careful when you make your preparations that there's nothing left between the teeth. Rav Stern quotes...
Good question?
Yeah.
Does meat get stuck in the teeth more so than other foods?
I think so. Certain cuts of meat do. If you have like a roast or not chopped meat, but a real roast or something, I think would get stuck between your teeth more than cheese or pasta.
Interesting. And like chicken or other, I mean.
So chicken is included in the minhag. Chicken's included with meat.
I guess is Rav Shlomo Zalman's point that anything fleshik is included based on the gra?
I don't think, like if you have a clear chicken soup, and no chicken in it. Is the minhag not to eat chicken soup? That's clear. Not sure.
Unless then, I mean, in Hokos Baza B'cholov, at least according to the Rambam, that's okay.
But... Right. So I don't know. I don't know if the minhag extends. Definitely any meat or any chicken is included in the minhag. Clear chicken soup, I'm not sure. Yeah, Moshe.
What about hard cheese?
Hard cheese. I don't think it's part of the minhag, meaning there are two levels here. There's a formal minhag, not to eat meat, which was originally because of a concern of bein hashinayim, and the poskim assume is expanded to any kind of meat, any meat, any chicken, even if that particular cut is not a concern of bein hashinayim. And then you have what the later poskim say, that if you have something you know is going to get stuck bein hashinayim, then you should be careful about it also. Not necessarily that it falls within the formal minhag, but that's part of the Eitz HaTova. So it's not a lochem Hashem Sinai that if you have hard cheese that you have to wait 6 hours for, because the same din of Hamtana applies and applies here too. So if it's not something that particularly tends to get stuck between your teeth, then I don't think the minhag would apply. Yeah, Moshe.
If there's a link like the gra we're saying for the gra, is there a possibility to be mechalik if it would be more than 6 hours?
In Svara, you could make a lot of chilukim, but the minhag, the way it's recorded, is the whole day. So yeah, all the Gaon is saying is that's the reason for the minhag. But once you have the minhag, so there's a certain low plug to it. So then the minhag is even to have for breakfast, you would avoid having meat.
And the Rambam doesn't say the meat falls out after 6 hours. So for chatzitza, it wouldn't matter. It loses its taste after 6 hours.
Right. Okay, so I guess fine. Good. Anyway, the comparison only goes so far. But the meat won't stay there forever. Anyway, slice it. Rosh Stern also points out that he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that the minhag of eating basar on Shabbos and Yontiv, you know, the Taz says the minhag nati basar yom tefillah does not apply to Shabbos and Yontiv. He quotes that Shlomo Zalman was makel on Chol HaMoed also. Even though it's questionable the extent to which there's a chiyuv simcha bebasar for women b'chlal, even on Yontiv and Chol HaMoed as well, but he still quotes from Shlomo Zalman that you could be makel on Chol HaMoed to have basar also. And there's a machlokas of poskim about Purim. Rav Avadia quotes poskim in both sides of that, which may relate to the chiyuv of achilas basar on Purim, and what Rav Shechter quoted in his written tshuva this year, this statement for the Rav about eating a tuna fish sandwich. The Sidrei Tara in Sivkatan Mentes writes. The Taz that we just saw, who says that the minhag is to be makel and not eating basar b'yom tefillah b'shabbos v'yontiv, the Taz is going on the first minhag, the minhag in the mechaber. What about the second minhag that the Rama quotes? The Rosh had both these minhagim. The mechaber quotes one, the Rama quotes the second. So what about that second minhag not to eat anything bein rechitza u'tefillah? So the Sidrei Tara writes in Sukkot Memtes that on that second minhag you should be machmer. The Taz is only meant to be makel on the first minhag of not eating basar b'yom tefillah, but on the second minhag not eating anything bein rechitza l'tefillah, the Sidrei Tara thinks that you should be makel. Why? So the Sidrei Tara writes, the kevich hu samach l'tefillah shema lo tenakir yafa mitoch shema hu mulabesa, that since you're about to go to the mikvah, it's samach l'tefillah, so there we're more concerned that you're not going to clean your teeth properly because you're in a rush. So if you're in a situation where you have a Friday night tefillah and you're going to the mikveh after the suda, so then you can't eat anything during the suda. Can't eat anything. So Paskin Zabadi Ashokhan, Sifkatan Kuf Peches, and then the Biurim there as well. So that's the Sidrei Tara. No grounds to be makel here on the second minhag. Can't eat anything to go to the mikveh Friday night. And that's what the Badi Ashokhan assumes Lalacha. Rav Stern writes that you could be makel if you have guests, if you have children at home, in a situation in which it's going to be very uncomfortable to sit at the meal and not eat anything. Meaning in most situations, a woman's probably going to the mikveh before the meal. But if she's going to the mikveh after the meal, then where there's going to be embarrassment, discomfort, if there are other people around the table not to eat, then Rav Stern says that you could be makel, just as Rav Makel in minhag number one, that the minhag didn't apply to Shabbos v'yontiv, if Leil Tefillah is Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Yontiv, so we can make it here too, on the second minhag of night eating bein rechitza l'tefillah. So Paskins Rav Avadia, and so Paskins Rabbi Willig. Now, sometimes this is beneficial. Friday night tefillas, as we've alluded to in the past, are always problematic in terms of being mastir leil tefillasa, especially if you have a family, or if you're away, or they're guests. So, and if you have children at home, so let's say you don't have guests, you have children at home. So, who's washing the kids? If the husband usually goes to shul, the wife has to go to the mikveh, who's washing the kids at home? If the husband's not going to go to shul so the wife can go to the mikveh, that raises more eyebrows if the kids are old enough to realize that something's amiss. So during the summer, there's potentially an easier solution to that. You can make Shabbos early. The husband can go to shul early, come home, eat the suda, maybe not as long as usual. And then the wife slips out to go to the mikveh around seis. So if you're machmir le sidri tara, that's not as feasible an option because you're going to sit around the suda and she's not going to eat anything. But if you're willing to be makel on this minhag, so then at least in the summer when you have the early Shabbos option, that's a smoother way of being master leil tefillasa and having your cake and eating it too. Moshe.
Just to clarify, the Taz was talking about a bidyavid case where you didn't do the minhag?
No, the Taz is saying that there's no such minhag on Shabbos v'yantiv.
Right. But I'm saying, so if someone ate between the chafif and the tefillah, is that what we're not talking about that, right? We're talking about...
The Taz is talking about eating meat beyom tefillah, but the same would be true for the second minhag also. Everyone would agree, if you did eat between chafif and tefillah, you don't have to delay the tefillah. But the question is, l'chachila, how careful do you have to be about that minhag on Leil Shabbos? Rav Shechter raised the following question just as an exercise in thought, more lahalacha below lemaisa, that part of a general question, if you have a minhag that was instituted for a certain reason, and that reason doesn't apply anymore, how careful do you need to be about observing that minhag? So Rav Shechter thought that the minhag of not eating meat b'yom hatfilah originated at a time where it was more difficult to remove basar ben hashinayim than it is now. They didn't have dental floss. They didn't have as good a toothpick as we have for whatever the difference was. So there was more of a concern of having basar ben hashinayim generations ago than now. So if you accept that premise that we have more technologically advanced tooth cleaning methods than we did generations ago when the minhag was developed. So does that change anything as far as the need to keep the minhag, or at least does that give you more leeway where there are other considerations in not following the minhag? Meaning even if you argue that you still have to keep the minhag in general, but are you more inclined to be makel in a Leil Shabbos situation or the like, if you argue that the original concern is less pronounced now than it used to be. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some of the details of chatzitza in teeth. There's a statement of the Chachma Sadam that just about all the later posts can disagree with. And it could be the Chachma Sadam's Mitzias is a little bit different than our Mitzias, and even the Chachma Sadam would agree with our Mitzias. And that's a comment of the Chachma Sadam in Klal Kuf Yates Os Yud Ches about a permanent cavity. At face value, the Chachma Sadam paskins, it's one line there, and he elaborates on it in the Bina Sadam. Face value, the Chachmas Adam Paskins that if you have a permanent cavity, then you have a chatzitza problem. So if that was correct, then very few women would ever be able to go to the mikvah. What's his rationale? The Chachmas Adam writes in the Bina Sadam, that as opposed to something which is lenoi, which wouldn't be chotzeis, even if it's yeshbo mamish. But when it comes to a filling, which is lerefua, the ilu lo hayala ke'ev shinayim, the vad yaloisa sasemis, if she didn't have a toothache, she wouldn't put the filling in. Lachain chotzeis. So it's not lenoi, it has mamashus, and that should be a problem of chatzitza. So Rav Moshe writes that even the Chachmas Adam was not talking about our kinds of a filling. Igros Moshe Chelak Aleph Simin Sadi Zayin Anaf Vav Chelak Aleph Simin Sadi Zayin Anaf Vav. Moshe writes that even the Chachmas Adam is only machmir if you have a kind of rudimentary filling that, number one, prevents normal activity, prevents you from eating normally, prevents you from functioning normally, has tsar, or is exceedingly ugly. But none of that is relevant to our contemporary fillings, which are evenly inserted, which don't protrude out of the teeth, which don't impair which do not impair functionality, and which aren't particularly ugly. So Moshe thinks even the Chachmas Adam may acknowledge that our permanent fillings are okay. And that's a consensus of all poskim, that it's not chotzeit, it becomes part of the body, it is for all the various reasons of that we discussed earlier for different medical matters, is not considered to be a chatzitza. The bigger question is about a temporary filling. If you have a temporary filling, that's going to be removed in place of a permanent filling. So Rav Moshe is make on that as well, because as soon as you're going to remove the temporary filling, you're going to put in the permanent filling. So that's ke'ilu. It's already the permanent filling there. As opposed to a tabas, I'm sorry, and it's not something that she can remove on her own, so it's not, she has no ability to remove it, and it's the base of sarim. So for those reasons, Rav Moshe is makel on temporary fillings as well. Tzvi Pesach Frank is makel as well. Yoredei is Simen Kuf Samach Tes. Yoredei is Simen Kuf Samach Tes. And in the Sefer Mare Cohen, Rabbi Ruman from Harnov Sefer, so he quotes, he has Chuvas in the back from Chaim Kanievsky, who quotes in the Chazon Ish that the Chazon Ish was machmir on temporary fillings. And the Rebbe Yashiv has a Chuva in Chelek Aleph Simen Sadi, in which in principle he's makel, but the question is how long does it have to be there in order not to be a chatzitza. Kovetz Chuvas Chelek Aleph Simen Sadi. Chuva written to Rabbi Sinai Adler, who just passed away within the last year. Anyone ever hear him speak? He used to come to Karmi Yavna once a year to speak. He had an affiliation with KBY decades ago. He was anyone ever hear of him? He was a survivor who came to Eretz Yisrael after the war as a kid. Ended up getting smich. I think it was a Rav in Ashdod, maybe. I think at some point he was affiliated with the Yeshivim of Eseret. He wrote about his Holocaust experiences, but he was a known personality. And my phone rings on the computer. I thought I had closed the program. Anyway, so Rav Yashiv writes as follows: Tafshin Kaf Ches, Kaf Beis Adar, almost there on the calendar. So he writes to Rabbi Sinai Adler, on this question of temporary fillings. So we had referenced one of the earlier shirim, Avni Nezer and others, who talk about 7 days as being critical as a shear of Kesher Shel Kayama. So if it's going to be removed within 7 days, then it could be a chatzitza problem. So that's what he concludes, that if it's going to be removed within 7 days, then you have a chatzitza problem. If it's going to stay more than 7 days, you're okay. And the Shari Tfila, Simon Lamed Dalid, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that it has to be there for 30 days. How do you calculate the 30 days? That's 30 days from the time that you put in the filling, not 30 days from the Tfila. But then he says maybe it should be Machmir, that it should be 30 days from the Tfila. And he has the following Eitzim. So the dentist was supposed to remove the temporary filling, let's say, 14 days after the tefillah. It's already been in there for 14 days or for 16 days. And it's supposed to come out another 14 days. But in order to consider this kavua enough not to be a chatzitza, you have to tell the woman that the filling has to stay in for 30 days after the tefillah. And that's going to make us consider it to be permanent enough that it's not a problem of chatzitza. However, Stern says you could do the following. You tell the woman that the Rav tells the woman has to stay in for 30 days after the tefillah. So she makes an appointment with the dentist for 30 days after the tefillah to remove the temporary filling and put in a permanent filling. But then the rabbi whispers in the husband's ear that as long as she is in the mindset that it's going to stay there for 30 days, that's sufficient. And after she goes to the mikvah, you can call up the dentist and tell the dentist that he can make an earlier appointment for her, as long as it's 30 days from when you put it in, even if it's not 30 days from the Yom HaTevila. And then Rosh Hashanah says, Abishah Satchak, even if it's only in there for 7 days, here's what to be makel about. And then Rabbi Morgenstern quotes, Rav Yashiv also required 30 days, even though in the Tshuva he entertained 7 days. But he quotes from Rav Yashiv Lamais 30 days, and 30 days Yom HaTevila. So Paskin Zi Badi Yashochan Sivkatan Kuf Ayin Tes.
The Shari Tvila's Eitza is basically just schedule the appointment and then reschedule, make a different appointment?
His Eitza is that she should be of the mindset that it's going to be there for 30 days Miyam Tvila. But once she goes to the mikvah, then if you change it after the fact, that does the mafrei affect the status at the time of the tefillah? That's his suggestion. And Rav Avadia sounds like his makel across the board. Even it sounds like even less than 7 days, as long as it's going to be replaced with a permanent filling right afterwards, then Rav Avadia seems to be makel. Okay, this is a discussion.
Did Ramosha have a time or no?
Ramosha doesn't discuss a time. No. So it could be Ramosha also would have been made even a short amount of time. But he doesn't address that. There's a discussion in Poskim about braces also.
Ramosha, sorry, one question?
Yeah.
When we say like doing the dentist thing, right, or where you trick her into 30 days,
right?
So does it have any minimum time after that that does have to be in? Like, do they have like another fallback, or like it could be like the day after tefila once you're doing that?
Could be the day after tefila. Again, he's working with the assumption that it has to have been there. I think his assumption is that it should have been there for 30 days total, but not necessarily 30 days from the Yom HaTevila.
Yeah, but he still needs you to use 30 days from the. It's basically just an eitza to allow you to rely on 30 days from the filling.
Correct.
Okay.
And then that's how you present it.
So you need like two things.
Right. Okay, so as far as braces, so Moshe Chelek Aleph Simen Sadi Vav writes, it's hard to say that it's Eina Makbid, because in general, women would be Makbid not to have braces on, but since it's only Beis Hastarim, which may only be Derabbanan, and it's a miyut, then yesh lahakel, ein limchos biyado, as long as it doesn't prevent you from eating properly. So Moshe is not excited about braces, but he says there's what to be makel about. In the Shari Tvila, he says maybe you distinguish between braces that are purely for cosmetic purposes and braces that have a medical benefit as well. If it's purely for cosmetic purposes, it's hardly to be mako, because it's objectively unattractive, and that would be considered makbid. As opposed to if there's a medical need for the braces, then there's more to be mako about. I imagine that nowadays, most people who put on braces would argue that there's some medical component as well. It's not purely ornamental, not purely lanai. But Shari Tfila quotes that distinction from Rav Yashiv that there may be a difference if it's lanai or lerefua. As it is, I think most people that get braces get them earlier in life these days, and they're out before someone gets married. So it's probably less of a relevant childhood these days. Rav Avadya's makel, even if it's lanai, that it's not something that you have any intention of removing. And Rav Avadya basically makes the same point, that there's always some kind of refua aspect, even if the primary motivation is cosmetic.
Does anyone wear braces, lanai?
I'm sorry?
Does anyone wear braces for cosmetic purposes?
That's what I was saying. I think nowadays, most people would tell you that if braces are recommended, it's because there's some medical need for the health of the teeth, not just not purely cosmetic.
Doesn't that get into like the Chachmas Adam's, how we view Rufua, that like really she wouldn't want to wear it if she got better tomorrow?
Right, and that's what Ramosha basically makes that point as well, that it's hard to argue that it's considered... you're saying in the direction that that's not considered a kapeda, because the only reason you're doing it is because of the medical component.
Right, but I'm saying that you could argue with that if you hold that the whole... Like, I'm saying it depends on what you say about Rafua generally.
Okay. Yeah, but again, braces I don't think are terribly lamaisa in most tefillah situations. I imagine not that many women who are of marriageable age are still wearing braces in this day and age. As far as dentures are concerned, so if you have permanent false teeth that you can't remove, so then the consensus of the poskim is that that's not chotzeitz, that becomes part of the body. Even the Chachmas Adam, who's machmir on fillings, is makel on permanent teeth. When it comes to dentures that you remove on a nightly basis, so then that's presumed to be a chatzitza along the lines of a tabas. The Shari Tfila has an interesting argument, the name of Shlomo Zalman, Shari Tfila Simon Lamed Beis, that even if you remove the dentures every night, if you're removing them in order to clean them, so then maybe that doesn't make it into a chatzitza, because he says even your normal teeth, if you could remove them to clean them, you would. You just can't. So the fact that you're removing the dentures to clean them because you can doesn't make it into a davar hamakdif. Okay. So let's move on. Talk a little bit about some of the later topics in the Siman. We had briefly alluded to the din of Mayim Makdimim, which we have in Sif Kaf Ches. Mechaber writes, Lo ta'achos b'chaverta b'yada b'shas tefila, that if a woman needs assistance going to the mikvah and she needs someone to hold her, so that assistant shouldn't be holding her. She has to loosen her hands so that the water will first come around her hands. But if she rinses herself with water first, that's okay. That's going to be a chibur l'mei mikvah. The Shach writes in Sifkat and Lamed Zayin that this has to be dafka b'mei mikvah, that if she's going to use non-mikvah water, then that doesn't have the effect of being mechaber or mechuber to the mikvah water. And then Lamechess, the Shach just points out, Tofeach is Tofeach HaMenas LaPiach, which is the standard language we use. And then Siflamid, Ein Osricha like Bia Ragla B'Shas Tfilasa, Im Ein Sham Tit, Afa Pisha Deresa Salarbitzba, Ein Kan Chatitza, Mimnei Shamayim Akdim El Ragla. So that's the more common manifestation of Mayim Akdim. And Sif Kavches is the rare case where a woman needs assistance getting to the mikvah. Then you have to figure out how to choreograph it properly. Sif Lamed is any tefillah, that there's no din. When a woman goes to the mikvah, she doesn't have to lift up her leg so that her feet aren't touching the ground. Because as she's submerging in the mikvah, you already have Mayim Akdimim on her feet, and there's no need to lift up her feet when going into the mikvah.
Isn't the bottom of the feet based on starim?
Isn't the bottom of the feet based on starim? Does anyone say that? It's not...
I thought I could be mistaken about this, but I thought I heard that from Rav Schechter. I thought Rav Schechter quotes the Rash in Mikvos that we saw, that women don't need a jump in the mikvah.
Right.
Because it needs to be raw, it'll be asmayim, but it doesn't. You don't actually need asmayim on the bottom of the feet because it's based on starim. I could be misquoting though. I thought that's what he said.
Don't remember. But then you wouldn't need to come out to Mayim Akdimim.
Right, that's what I was asking.
I don't remember. Okay, we'll try to take a look later. Okay, the Gemara on the bottom of Samach Vav Amid Beis onto the top of Samach Zayin Amid Aleph has the following memra. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Isha lo titbol binamal. A woman should not go to the mikvah in a namal. Rashi, Porto, in a port. Makam shasfinos nikbaos shemalos tit v'chotze. So Rashi says the concern is that there's a lot of tit there, and if you're going to go into the mikvah in the namal, then you may end up encountering tit in your submersion, And that's going to be a chatzitza problem. Afagav the hashalaka. Even though right now, when you come out of the mikvah, there's no tit to speak of, emar bar yunei nafal. You have to be choshesh that maybe at the time of the tefillah there was tit, and as you're rubbing your feet on the way out, the tit fell off. But we're concerned that there might have been tit. That's how Rashi understands the concern of tefillah ben amal, that it's a chatzitza problem, that you may encounter tit when you're going to the mikvah, when you're going into the namal, and even if you don't notice it afterwards, it might have been there and you would never know. Tosfos as a separate consideration. Quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos on the bottom of Samech Vav Amud Beis. Rabbeinu Tam Nira Kepesh Rabbeinu Chanana Lo Titbo Ben Amal Ki Bnei Adam Mitzuyim Sham. Nothing to do with the tit, but it's a public area. People are around. Ubi Isa, and she's going to be scared. Ubi Meheres, and she's going to rush to do the tefillah. Bimnei Shabosha Bimnei Adam Mitzuyim Sham. And she's not going to do a proper job because she's embarrassed of the people that are there. She's going to rush through the tefillah, and it wouldn't be a good tefillah for that reason. Lahalacha. Lahalacha, the Mechaber writes in Sifla Megimel, Lo titbo b'makam sheyesh b'kar ki iso tit mishum chatzitza. Elam kein titin alaz moros v'chayotzi behen davar sheinu mekabel shum tuma. Yom tov li yishomim shalasa latfila. That's Rashi's pshat in Amal. And then in Sifla Medali, Lo titbo b'makam sheyesh chashash sheyiru b'nei adam v'nei shem yitokach memeheres litbo v'ena medakdekas b'tfila. Maybe the Evid also la tefila. So the Mechaber quotes Lalacha, both Rashi's explanation of Namal and Tosos, Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Tam's explanation of Namal, that both of them are concerns la halacha. The Darkei Moshe writes, quoting Rabbeinu Yerucham, that Tosos' Namal is not limited to a situation where we're concerned about the publicity that a woman's going to rush through the tefillah because there are people around, but other situations that could cause a woman to rush to tefillah as well. So hu adin, if there's a concern that the nachum around are going to cause trouble, are going to be mazik, and a woman's going to rush through the tefillah for that reason, that would be the same consideration as a place where there is publicity. The Badir Shulchan quotes the Machlokas Achronim, if you have a mikvah that is full of frogs, are we concerned that the woman's going to rush through her tefillah because she doesn't want to hang out with frogs? Does that also fall under the broader category of not allowing tefillah in a place that may be rushed? And he says he thinks it's relevant if you have a mikvah that doesn't have proper temperature control also. You have a mikvah that's overly hot or overly cold, you could have the same concern that a woman's going to rush to the tefillah. So a mikvah, ideally, needs to be pleasant enough that a woman is not going to rush to the tefillah, not too hot, not too cold, but just right. Because otherwise you run into this problem of namal, that is not just a situation where we're concerned about rushing because of the publicity, but any other situation where women may rush to the tefillah is not ideal. And should be avoided. Divrei Malkiel, Chelek Beis Siman Nun Ches, Chelek Beis Siman Nun Ches, quotes a similar consideration. If you have a mikvah that's too deep, that the woman may be scared to go into the mikvah if it's too deep, where you don't have to worry about the Mayim Akdimin because her feet won't be able to reach the bottom of it anyway, but she's scared for that reason. So that's another situation in which that raises questions about the tefillah, definitely the chachila, because it's the situation where women may rush to finish the tefillah and not do it properly. Okay, but just to go back, we're not going to spend any time on Sif Lamed Aleph. There is a very lengthy taz here, but that's the sugya of Tvila Bekalim. And Tvila Bekalim raises two potential concerns. Number one is a Xeris Mirchatzos. And number two is the concern of Biasusa, which relates to Tosas' Namal, that that a woman may be afraid and rush the tefillah because of the setting. Okay. Sif Lamed Hey. This is partially based on the Gemara and Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph as far as what the correct posture is for tefillah. The Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, she'isha lo titbol ela derech kidei lasa. Kidetanan, ha'ish nira ka'odir amosik, zesim isha nira is ka'oreges umanika espina. So that's how the Gemara describes the correct posture for tefillah. It has to be derech kidei lasa in the position that a woman normally walks, meaning she shouldn't constrict her limbs too severely. You have to position herself in such a way that the water is going to surround whatever parts of the body the water is supposed to surround. So that's what the Mishnah refers to as, you know, the Mishnahs in the context of checking for Nagayim, but the Gemara quotes it here in the context of the correct posture for tefillah, that Isha Nires Ko Reges Umanika Espina, that she's bending herself or positioning herself in such a way as she would be nursing her son. That refers to exposing or opening up or the relaxed position in the front of the body. So the Mechaber writes, "Lo tipol b'komis akufa." If you're going to be too straight, "Menei sheyesh mekomos shemistatrim ba." Yal tishka harbi, you shouldn't lean too much. Ashi yibukus sarez zebazeb, because then you're going to have some of the folds getting too closed. Okay. I think we'll stop here. We'll just pick up with a little bit more on the, if you look, there's a machlokas, the shach and the taz here in Sifkat Lamaches, and the taz and the shach in Sifkat Memtes come out on different sides of that machlokas, whether also la tefillah, lo also la tefillah, if you didn't position yourself properly. So maybe we'll pick up with that just briefly next time. We'll talk briefly about the din in Sif Mem of having a mikvah attendant. We'll talk a little bit about the Ramah at the very end of the Simen. To Sif Memches. And then we'll talk briefly about a couple of the other Seifim towards the end of the Simen here. And then about Kavana. So you may spend a little bit of time about Kavana. And then we're going to talk briefly about Berachas HaTevila in Siman Reish. So I will Blinather send you Mar Mekomas on Siman Reish, but I hope next time to finish Siman Kuf Sadi Ches and talk a little bit about Siman Reish. And then after that, probably next week already, we'll move on to Siman Kuf Sadi Hei and our Chakos. That should take us pretty much till Pesach. Okay? Moshe.
And just what does Rabbi recommend if we're up, right now up to like Siman Kuf Zion? So should we go I'm saying just going through the rest of
Go through the rest of the Siman shouldn't take as long. Like Sif Lamed Aleph, you don't really need to spend time on. You can even skip the Shach and Siman Lamed Aleph if you're pressed for time. And I would say from Kaf Ches to the end of the Siman, if you're pressed for time and you can't see the Beis Yosef, then just see Shach Bifkejuva. And if you have time, you can look back at the Beis Yosef and then jump to Siman Reish. Okay, so Mirza Shem on Thursday will be back in person.